Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
All right. Well, we're going to be, again, talking on Love University. The instructions that God gives us are pretty clear on loving other people. We are at spots where my clicker is not quite working, so you guys can figure out that maybe back there. So we've been actually at a spot where in Love University talking about this, our group, our family is where we learn to love, right? It's where we end up, sorry, go back if you apologize. See if the... If my cross is still in the thing, you can take it out. It blocks the way. So yeah, there we go. They're going to restart it. Okay, let's just start over. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to see you all. Oh, yeah, we've already prayed. What can we get started here? Sorry, I got there. So anyway, I think we're back over here. So the thing I'd say is that in this Love University, you know, what's so clear is that God has given us clear instructions on what will happen. Where he's taking us to, and when we follow those instructions, he even tells us what's going to happen when we follow those instructions. And so we hear this over and over, but it doesn't get old. It's just he's repeating it over and over. We to what? Love God with what? All we have. What? Love our neighbor as ourselves. Over and over, we see it repeated, and he goes on to explain that we're to love in not just a normal kind of love. We're to love as God loved us. So that's pretty straightforward. Repeated over and over again. And then what happens is the results are when we do this thing, when we do love as God loved us, amazing things happen. It shows us, it takes us to knowing God, knowing that we're connected to God. In 1 John it says, when we love one another, his love is made complete in us when we do this. And then even at the Last Supper, when Jesus is speaking about this whole thing, has, you know, this kind of important time to make sure he gets the right instructions. He goes, now love one another as I have loved you. By this, everybody will know you're my disciples. And so it's straightforward. And it's this place of understanding we are called to love Jesus. There's some things I'm, you know, not sure what God is wanting in this area and this area, but this is one you just can't get around. If you want to know what God wants for you, he wants this for you. Right? And when you do it, amazing things take place, not just in the other person, but actually in you as well. And so I want to also understand, because it's so important, you will find this is one of the hardest things to do. So how many people find it tremendously easy to love others as Christ loved you, right? Like, well, a little hard. So as we think about that, is we have to realize that we have to learn how to do this. You know, Jesus' disciples said, would you teach me how to pray, how to see the way you see? And he has to teach us, how do we love in the way he loves? And we're going to be talking specifically about that. Now, this graphic we've been talking about kind of shows helpful processes on how do we do this? How do we learn this? And we've talked about, it starts by being open. Being open to know that God has people for you to love that you're probably not going to naturally go to. It's going to be different than what your natural flesh will be attracted to. But be open to who God wants you to love. And as you love, it requires you to invest. The things we talked about last week. And then when you do that, you can expect what we're going to talk about this week is that you're going to be stretched. And so as we focus in today on this whole thing of being stretched, I want you to understand it's good news that you're stretched. It has amazing things happen when you're stretched. Now, there are times in life when this whole thing of being stretched is not as... I mean, when you love people, it's not always this way. I mean, there's times where I have God's love flow through me. I'm connected to Jesus in this way. I feel his presence. And it just kind of naturally happens, right? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. But I would say many times when I decide to love someone, it stretches me. And stretches me not in a nice yawn kind of stretch, right? Stretches me in which that it stretches me. to a place that it actually can be a bit painful at times. And understanding when you begin stretch, you'll kind of know you're being stretched because there's this other voice that starts coming to you of like, get away from this, shut down, judge, I must have done something wrong. When you start loving and you start realizing there's something that's really trying to keep you from loving, trying to keep you to disconnect, to cut that person off. And this is something that just happens automatically. You'll notice it today if you pay attention. You try to love someone, you often find yourself when you start, he starts stretching you in this bit of a battle that goes on because it's that important. You know, the word discipline, you know, in the Greek, it's instructions that train someone to reach full development. Now, when we're stretched, it's a place of kind of discipline where it's taking us to reach our full development. In Hebrews, it says, no discipline's pleasant at the time, but painful. And later on, he says, and it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. And so when we're stretched, it's not just bad, it's good. It has amazing benefits when we're stretched. But what I find is being stretched, what it does, it teaches you how to love and increases your capacity to love. This verse is so straightforward. Love one another as I have loved you, straight from Jesus. So you must love one another. It's pretty clear. You know, and so what we're talking about in this whole thing of love university, we're saying the way you learn to love is in real life, in real relationships. It's not in a bubble separate from people. It's in relationships with people God teaches us to love. And you can see this in your natural family, right? Your natural family, you're kind of stuck together. You can't, you're connected. And you have to learn, how do you love each other? And it just flows, doesn't it? You know, no, you learn to love your family. You learn to love the people around you that you're connected to. And so the same thing is true. Like for me, I was a tremendous loving person until I had a parent that kept driving me crazy. So I had a sibling that I had to work with, right? And I thought, well, now I've got this down. And then I got married. And I thought, I got some love, you know, learning to do here. Why? Because I was in this relationship. And I had to learn, how do I do this? And then I had kids. And then I had my PhD course in teenagers. I mean, all those kind of things, that's where I learned to love. And I'm telling you, it stretched me. And when the scripture talks about it, it's saying you have this eternal spiritual family that you're a part of, and as you interact, it will stretch you, and it will cause you to learn to love as you devote yourself to each other. Now, I started counting up how long I've been in a community that I was really highly committed to, and I, for some reason, I have been one of those Christians who has been in the church. I mean, committed to that group of people. And even when I first became a Christian, I was committed to a Baptist church, and I was there every time they were open. And I had a Bible study in my home, which had all kinds of people who weren't Baptist. They were all over the map. And they came in, and I thought, oh my goodness, what have I got myself? I was like a year-old Christian, and I had all these people around me, and they weren't anything like me, and they were weird. I mean, they were strange. They had different ways of looking at things. I remember thinking, what have I got myself into? But I didn't know how to get out of it. But then after time goes by, I started realizing, oh, there's something really good here. And I started seeing how God was able to teach me and train me things I couldn't get a hold of before. And then Debbie and I got married. We kind of went into this hippie church, a little different than the Baptist church. And I was highly committed, and they were super committed, more than I've ever seen anybody committed. And oh my gosh, what a ride that was, right? Trying to learn, young, passionate Christians, bumping into each other, you know, trying to figure out how to do life together. So I had like 15 years in Topeka, Kansas, trying to learn people. And then I moved to the Bay Area, which is a lot different than Topeka, Kansas. Very different. And so, you know, I remember going to the Bay Area and thinking, man, it's a different country here. I didn't know this was so different, right? Whole different way of looking at life. And I was there for 7 years diving in. And then we planted the church here, and I've been here for 24 years. And as I look back, I think, wow, you know, I've been in the Vineyard 31 years. And over 20 years that I've been in leadership of Vineyard, I've been through all national directors from John Wimber up, right? And I'm like thinking, wow, this has been a crazy ride. And I guess what I would say in that was I've had this understanding the community is part of me, and I don't know where I got that, but I just thought it was kind of my preference, but I realized it's actually biblical. And it's changed me. I mean, I can look in all these places that I committed to, and I can look at the people, and I have deep, deep love and connection to these people at levels I can't even put into words. I get choked up when I think about it. And I think about how much I've been through, because we did life together. We did road trips together. We had eight meals together. We worked on each other's homes. We went through weddings together. We moved way too many people. We did birthdays. We did grieving when people lost their babies with miscarriages or stillborn children. We've lost adults together. We've gone through conflicts after conflict. I mean, it's just been a ride. But it's been amazingly rich. And, you know, I can think about when we went through pain, how my family was, spiritual family was right in it with us. I can think about when we had our first adopted daughter, Emily, we had 80 people in our house celebrating with us. I remember going home after we adopted Elise to our brand new church in our small group, and they had the whole house decorated for us, and they helped raise our kids. And people live with us. And people went through life with us. And the result was amazing. And I cannot express what this has done for me on at one of the deepest levels. You know, my first love is my Father in heaven, but my second love is my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I love Jesus as the head of the church, but I love the body, and I love all the parts that I have to be connected to. Now, I say that, and please don't get the idea that I've done it well. I just somehow stayed in there, and I'm glad I did. And the times I did it, I didn't stay in there where I wish it are the times that I'm sad about as I look back. I think that the things about the churches that I've been a part of is this spot of, it's been so hard. I could take every one of those churches and I could list a huge list of difficult, hard things. I mean, really hard things. Painful things. Places where I just wanted to leave. Places that I wanted to shut myself down and leave. Disappointments, getting hurt by people, that was all part of it too. But for somehow, by God's grace, I stayed in there. And God does this crazy thing by just staying in there, even though I didn't do it very well many times. I remember when I led the Bible study, I remember thinking, I would have prayer times when I first led the Bible study, praying that certain people wouldn't come that night. Please, God, just give me a break. And I would, like, feel full of faith when two people didn't come. Yes, this is going to be a good night. I'm full of faith. Debbie and I used to have times, many times, where we'd come away in the middle of a painful thing, and we say, what do you want to do? And she goes, you know what I want to do is I want to go to a mega church. I want to sit in the back row. I'm going to have good worship. I want to have a friend next to me, two or three good close friends who are like me that we can go to brunch with afterwards. And I don't want to get involved with people anymore. Because it was that painful, right? But God wouldn't let us do it. And I'm so glad he didn't let me do it. Because he could have. By God's grace, I stayed in there. But I'm telling you, it's what taught me things. It showed me what love was. It stretched me in ways I can't even put into words. Now, when I thought about stretching, I thought about this cartoon. I thought this was a good one. Now, this particular way, it didn't really work, right? It just didn't work. No change. It goes right back to normal. But luckily, the good thing about in the kingdom of God, stretching isn't not negative. It's actually extremely positive. And you don't just go back to where you were before. It actually expands you. It does different. When we are stretched, we're made to be, this is the word for stretch in the Greek, because to be made to be capable of being made longer and wider without tearing or breaking. Actually, that's an English definition. And so that's what stretched is. It allows you to be bigger. It stretches your capacity, your ability. And when we are stretched by God, we grow and gain an increased capacity to receive and also express love. So if you want to learn how to love better, you have to understand it comes with being stretched. And that does not mean something has gone wrong. Now, I thought a person I thought would be a good person to be thinking about for this whole thing of being stretched was Peter. You know, Peter had his own love university, very similar. If you remember Peter, he gets called by Jesus, hey, you're fishing? You want to be fishers of people? I'll help you figure that out. He's all in, goes for it, full speed. And then you see he has 3 years, and I think there's a number of things that he wasn't thinking about when he said yes. He didn't understand there would be 11 other people he had to hang out with and be on a road trip for 3 years, right? Have you ever been on a road trip with somebody? It can be really good, and it can be really hard. And if you go beyond one night, it can get really crazy. 3 years is a whole different issue. So for 3 years, he has these people that's around him, and they're ones, you know, they're zealots and they're tax collectors, and he has some friends that he knows really well, but he has a whole mixture of people with different personalities, people that he wouldn't have chosen, and now he's actually living everyday life with them. Now, do you understand this wasn't efficiency for Jesus? Well, I guess it'd be better to do one-on-one, but I'll do 12 at one time. This is needed. For them to grow, they needed to be in community with one another. That was the context in which they learned to love. And then beyond that is not only did he have to deal with all these people that he wouldn't normally be around, the people that Jesus started loving and caring about, Peter and the disciple would say, shut up, don't go near him, get away from him. They didn't even see the people that he saw to love, and he was pushing them away. And so the people that Jesus was loving, he didn't even like them. He didn't even see them. And so what you can say is he was stretched all the time. And time after time in Jesus, he was stretched because he saw the way Jesus loved, and it wasn't the way he loved, and it stretched him. And what's interesting with Peter is there was probably no one who was given to his best try as Peter. I'm going to do this thing. You remember when Peter, when Jesus got ready to go to the cross, and he said, I'll stay with you, I'll love you to the end, I'll die with you. But guess what? Things started happening. And his love broke down. He ran out of love. He denied Jesus. And so then we see Jesus coming to him in his resurrected state and talking to him. And there's something that happened in this interaction when he had Peter, you know the story, where he said 3 times, do you love me, Peter? And he said, of course I love you. And this is the 3rd time Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I think this was a pivotal moment because we see Peter after this in a whole different way. Understanding love in a way he didn't ever understand before. And showing it in ways that he never showed it before. And he understood, probably even though he'd been hearing it over and over again, my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with the church, which hadn't formed yet, but the people of God who are following Jesus and one another, they're mixed together. They're not separated at all. If you love me, yes, I love you. How? So here's what you do. You love people. You feed my sheep. And what we see after that is we see over and over where Peter is loving people that he didn't love before, at levels he never loved before, with a power and an ability of Jesus to love in ways that he never had before. And it's interesting, it's like his stretching did not end at that point. Did you understand that? Like, you think, okay, I've got it. Well, he got it until Jesus, until the Holy Spirit gave him a vision and a sheet came down and said, hey, and he showed that he had to go and to the Gentiles, and he had to do something that went against the way he always saw the Gentiles, and he said yes. It stretched him like crazy to go to Cornelius' house, but he did. And he obeyed him, and God came up through him. And so when we look at this, as we understand that when God teaches us to love people, it's always in the context of the people that are around us, right? And so this Peter now writes at the end of, towards the end of his life, and in 30 years after the resurrection of Christ, and he says this. He's speaking to the church, and here's what he says. The end of the time is near. Therefore, be alert. Be sober-minded. Be of sober mind so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so what we see here is this place of above all, love each other deeply. Above all. Peter's saying that from a deep knowing. And because he realizes the problem of this world is sin and the destruction of sin. The problem of this world is evil. And the way that we have good overcome evil, the way we have sin held back and covered up so it cannot penetrate this world is through loving. That's what shuts down sin. So above all, love each other deeply. And it talks about the ways we do that. But he talks about being a faithful steward of God's grace. In other words, you've experienced the love of Jesus, this undeserved favor. Now you can steward it. And then when you do it, though, and he goes on to explain, when you steward this gift of grace in all its various forms, it can look many different ways. It says, but when you speak, speak as if the very words of God. And when you serve, stir in the power of God. And I think this is where he understood this so clearly, is that there's this place in which that he began realizing what it means when you try to love with your own capacity and how you end up saying, I have no more to give. And he's saying, that's okay. Now you love, not with your strength. You don't just speak with your power. You speak with Jesus' power. Be faithful with God's grace and steward it well. Love as I have loved you. And so the thing about loving others is there's this place in which that as we choose to love, it causes us to become desperate because we run out quickly in our human capacity. And that's normal. But what God's saying is, I want to teach you, after you get to that point, there's a next level that you can love, and it's not in your own strength. God, you cry out to God and said, I can't do this. And you start understanding that this weird spot is in that place of weakness. He becomes strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in a way that is not rah-rah about me. It's about understanding that I need a capacity that's bigger than myself as I do that. Now, so as we speak those things, now I say there's two places that you'll always be stretched. In the relationships that you're part of, and that there's a continuum there, but the more you have commitment in the relationship, the more you'll be stretched. The more you invest in that relationship, the more you'll find yourself getting stretched in places. And so just understand that's normal. And understand that when you're being stretched, there's nothing's gone wrong. This is normal. But this is helping you to understand how to get free from trying to strive and love in a way that you're not able to love. And it causes you to be a spot where it takes you to a place that it takes you back to relationship. Loving others is part of how our relationship with God works. As we try to love God, you know, we open ourselves to God. And as we try to love others, it takes us back to God. And as we love God, it takes us back to others. And as we love others, it takes us back to God. It just is part of how we love God. And it's how God is revealed to us as we do that. Now, the other place that you're going to find is that you can expect being stretched is there are places that God will ask you to love a person that you think, I don't want to. You guys ever had that? I've had that conversation. I think the good interpretation, even when Peter, after knowing all these things, when the sheet came down, he said that go eat the unclean things, and he's referring, helping them understand he's supposed to go to the Gentiles. a pretty good interpretation would be, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not going to do that. They had to have him a few more times, right? So there's a spot, you're right, that you will always be, God will always be calling you, he'll point something out, and he'll say, and you think, I can't do that. That's a stretch. That's right. You think, I don't know if I have the capacity to do that. That's correct. But if he's asked you to, he will show you you can love him. And that's how you learn in those places of being stretched. Now, the other thing I'd say, what it feels like when you're stretched. When you're stretched, you can almost have a dialogue coming in like instantaneously that is the opposite of love. It's like justification of this. They didn't that. You don't understand what they did to me. You guys had these kind of thoughts. I'm done with them. I can't go any further. They've crossed the line. I mean, all those kind of things are just flowing in your head. And God's saying, I'm stretching you. And you have to say, God, how does love look here? Show me what I'm supposed to do here. It may look very different than you think. But when you're in that place of being stretched, what you don't want to do is relieve the stretching by turning away from Jesus and stopping in the conversation or concluding or justifying or judging or having unforgiveness or just disappearing. You want to stay in it with Jesus and say, God, now how do I love in this situation? And so when you are stretched, you can understand that, and it will take you to this place that you will realize you don't have the capacity. And that's where God is at. And he shows you, I didn't ask you to do this within your own strength. I want to show you how to do that. And he will give you the words. He will give you the actions. He will give you the perception that you need. Now, stretching, I just want to say this again. It is way more than being stretched so you can love people because they need it. That's part of it. Stretching will always bless others as you choose to say yes when you're being stretched and loving someone. God will always use those choices to help another person. But it's really a lot for you. It's because God wants you to learn how to love in his strength and have the burdens taken off of you. It's a place of learning how to connect with God and experiencing the love of God, the grace of God in the middle of all that. And so understand that the payoff is huge. You know, you and I are made to be rightly connected to our Creator and to one another. If we want life to the full, that's the direction it's going to go. I'm rightly connected with my Creator and the people around me to greater and greater degrees. And we can keep increasing in our love. We will keep increasing in our true fulfillment in life. True fulfillment in life is not circumstantial. It's in relationship. It's when you're in right relationship with God and right relationship with those around you. When you love God with all your heart and when you love your neighbor as yourself to greater and greater degrees. That's where life comes. That's where burdens are lifted. That's where freedom happens. So, be open. Understand, if you want to love, be open. You'll naturally just want to love the people you want to love. Be open to who God wants you to love. And then invest. Love people with your words, your actions, choices that God gives you. And then understand that you're going to be stretched. And when you're stretched, don't think something's gone wrong. This is normal. This is God expanding you to a greater capacity that you've longed for. So, I want to close with this. Just the whole thing about moving yourselves and others towards Jesus. You know, that's a great verse to memorize because it pretty well applies to all of life all the time. That's where God's taking you. And what I would say is a big thing that we have to realize is in Western Christianity, especially in America, we've given, in the way we've taught, how we've approached things, we've really not let people in on this amazing truth that you cannot grow in maturity without growing and loving other people. We've had a belief that's been subtly or blatantly communicated that I can have a fulfilled and grow in love as just me and God. And the church and the people around me, they're kind of a pain in the butt. And I should love them, and I need to love them, but we don't understand that it's a package. And we understand that God has life force in this. He taught his disciples how to love in being in relationship, and he'll teach us to love by being in relationship. And it will stretch us, but it's so good. It's the way God brings his love to us. And I can say that biblically, and I can just say, I cannot tell you how all the times that I wanted to leave, I wanted to shut down a part of myself, I wanted to judge another person, every time I didn't, the payoff has been huge. It's been so good. And so what I want you to think about as we're worshiping, as we have prayer time later, is commit to love God, your Heavenly Father, and one another. And I think the second is the one I'm focusing on the most. I hope you have both. You need both. You can't do one without the other. It's a package deal. But you have to understand that many times we've gotten hurt in the church. We've had times where we've not loved, and we have some baggage still there, and we're thinking, I'm done. And I'm just telling you, God can even work in places you've had damage over time. He wants to bring redemption to places of pain. He wants you to recommit not just to Father in heaven, but to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he'll show you what that means. But you have to say, I want that. You told me I must love my brothers. I have to figure out how to do that, sisters.